Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is artist Eileen Kaplan. Kaplan is a graduate of the University of Wisconsin at Madison, where she studied English and art history. In addition to painting, she is also a lifelong musician and a piano technician. Her figurative paintings are vibrant contemplations on the world around her. She has shown extensively around the New York Finger Lakes region and is represented by the West End Gallery in Corning and is a member of the State of the Art Gallery in Ithaca. Her work can also be seen at the Corners Gallery in Ithaca and at the Yates County Art Center's Flick Gallery in Penn Yan, New York. She studied painting and drawing with the artist Mark Dennis. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now you went to the University of Wisconsin, as I said, and majored in English and art history. What was it about art? You say that it really grabbed your attention.
Yes, I took a course, just the history of art, you know, a freshman course, and I guess it was the professor who was wonderful. And it was magical. I just loved especially painting. And I wasn't an artist. I drew, and I was much more focused on music. But it just led me to take more and more art history courses. I took a lot of them, not with any desire to do anything with it, just because it was so fascinating.
Yeah. So you must have sensed something, that it was bringing something out in your soul, that art was able to show emotion or something, right?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't really know what I was looking at, and I was learning about what I was looking at. And it just, yeah, it excited me, you know, the thought of seeing these paintings in person and, you know, just learning about them.
Yeah, I know. Art captured my imagination when I was younger, too, but I never became an artist. So I understand that you visited Germany, specifically Bavaria, and that's when you had this epiphany that you had to start painting. Tell us what happened.
I know. I tell this story, and it almost sounds like I made it up, but it's really true. We were visiting friends in Germany, and they had a cottage in Bavaria. My husband and I were walking in the fields. It was the sun was coming up. I mean, you can imagine, it was just gorgeous. And I was looking, and there were some cows, and I remember this scene perfectly, and I got this voice. I heard it saying, "You can paint this." So I, you know, we were walking, and I said to my husband, "You know, I think I can paint this." And he's a ceramic artist. He was an art teacher. Visual art is his thing. And he immediately said, "Well, yes."
Wow.
Of course you can. And for Christmas that year, he bought me paints. And I just picked them up and started.
That's amazing. And so what were some of the early subjects, and what was the medium that you were using? Did you start with oils?
Yes, he bought oils, and what I did was, and I knew nothing about painting, really, and I got books, and I started reading, because, you know, there's a learning curve.
Oh, yeah.
And what I fixed up a bedroom in my house, and I would set up fruit, you know, cut cantaloupes. I remember one of the first ones I did, I cut a cantaloupe in half, you know, and the color was gorgeous, and I mixed the orange, and I went, oh my God, this is just, it was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And then I showed it to my neighbor, who was studying with Tom Buechner, the well-known Corning. He was in Tom Buechner's painting group, and I showed it to him, and I said, "Jim, look at this," and he said, "Well..."
Oh, really?
He was really nice, but he said, "But, you know, you have to cover the whole canvas." I had left complete blank pieces of the canvas. And then I realized, I guess I better get some training.
But I would say, no, you don't have to cover the whole canvas.
I agree with you 100%, and I've learned that.
I understand teaching and then dictating.
Yeah, no, he had a thought about it, but it was fine, because it led me then, you know, to pursue studying with
people. Well, I would think just practice would help you, but what do you study? What do you learn when you say that you studied?
Yeah, that's a good question. I just jumped in with Marty Poole, who was also one of the Tom Buechner painting group members, had an open studio in Corning Community College, and I would go on Tuesday nights. And by that time, I had read some about, you know, mixing paints. You know, I knew something about how to apply the paint. And so teaching, it's hard to say exactly, but usually when I'm learning from a teacher, I will have one great moment where I realize something. And that's what I'm looking for when I go to a teacher, you know, something that I didn't see before. For example,
does it have to do with composition or light?
It could have to do with composition. With Marty, it was edges. You know, hard edges, soft edges, lost edges. I mean, you know, if you look at an apple, and we were painting an apple when I realized this, and I, you know, made the hard edges all the way around the apple. Well, no, not they're not like that. And he got me to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get one insight like that from a class or from a teacher, then that's golden.
Yeah. And so what else were you learning? I mean, did you realize that you were developing your own vision or your own voice? And how do people help you hone in on that?
Well, because I kind of started late, and I had spent a lot of time in the past with voice lessons trying to sing in a certain way and trying to have teachers have me sing in a certain way, that I was through with that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of teachers, possibly, you know, painting teachers, maybe wanted to have me teach in a certain way, but most of them, I think, saw that I was experimenting and I was finding my voice, and they let me do that. So I don't know that I really knew that.
Mm-hmm.
People told me early on that I had a style, but I never really tried to have a style. I wanted to put down what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's always what I'm striving
for. And it also feels like you were putting down what you were feeling, because your work is it's somewhat impressionistic, and then it seems to be your own style on the other hand that you have developed. It's really interesting.
Yeah, thank you. It is. It's seeing and feeling, because mm-hmm. when I see something, it causes me to feel something.
Yeah.
So you hit it right. That's true. It's not just seeing, but part of the seeing and the feeling is all together. And, mm-hmm. and I guess that must come out, because that's true.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting to try to figure out what the voice is and how much skill you need to learn in order to convey it, you know? Because art is a skill as well as an art, you know? I mean, painting, you have to have skills in order to convey what you're trying to...
You do.
...trying to communicate.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. And that's the frustration, because you're always one step ahead of your skill, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about, you know, the great painters, but, you know, and I think that's part of it. You know, you're always trying to try to do more, and your skills aren't quite up to it. So the more you practice, I was having a hard time using as much paint as I wanted to use.
Mm.
And I went to, you know, classes, and I talked to painters, well, I want to get out of this class how to use more paint. And they never really addressed that. But just with time and with...
So you wanted it to have texture?
Yes,
is that what you were looking for?
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's one thing to have texture, but it's another thing to have the texture be integrated so that it doesn't look like you plopped paint on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's what, that's what I was trying for, something that it looked like it was meant to be there rather than just put down because you like thick paint.
Yeah. How much do you think drawing is important for an artist? I know many artists have told me that that's the basis of being able to really be a painter.
Yeah,
So how much did you study drawing?
Well, I studied drawing at Elmira College with Mark Dennis. I actually started painting with him, a painting class, and then he was offering a drawing class, and I decided, yes, I'm going to do that. And it's completely important. If you don't get the drawing right, then it's just, you know, it's no good.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge.
Do you ever feel like you want to give up, though, when somebody starts so late and you have so much to learn? Did you ever get frustrated and just say, I can't do this, I'm going to, you know, throw away all these canvases that I'm trying to work on?
I always get frustrated.
You do?
Oh, yeah. But I, so far, have not said I'm going to give it up. It's a something like this is learning to tolerate frustration.
Mm.
It's always frustrating. Sometimes it goes really great, but not always. But even during the frustration, it's always, this is something that Marty Poole said, and I've always remembered it. He goes, painting is problem solving.
Mm.
And it is. You go in there and you, what needs to change? And for me, some people know what it is. For me, it's, I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it.
Mm.
So sometimes I have to put down two or three things or different colors and scrape it off, but I know it when I see it.
Yeah. Did you reach a point where you decided you didn't want to have to see teachers and learn from teachers when you knew you had to fly on your own and were ready to do that? Or are you still in the process of having people help you?
Both. You know, I after studying with Mark Dennis and with Marty, I think I went quite a long time without studying with anybody. And then I like to go on the internet and look at painters.
I can understand that.
Yeah, and I had one painter I really loved, Stuart Shills, out of Pennsylvania, Philly. And I happened to see that he was giving a workshop, and I went, oh, my God, I'm going to take this workshop. And so that started me on, once a year, I'm taking workshops. I find a painter that I really love, and I take a workshop. And it's been great.
Yeah, so you think it's an ongoing process, the learning process?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm very excited about studying with the teacher that I'm going to be studying with this summer, Catherine Kehoe, because I love her work and I've heard she's wonderful. And there may be a time after that when I'm going to say, no more studying for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So do you feel like that there's still part of your voice that hasn't emerged because you haven't got all the skills that you think you need? Yeah. Or do you just want a teacher there to keep you moving, you know, to keep you believing?
I think I have a lot more that hasn't shown itself.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's yes, I want the technical skill, which I'm hoping to get, but also I want the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're painting with somebody who is really good, usually the inspiration comes in times when you don't even know. And so that's what I'm looking for, because I feel, yes, I feel like I haven't scratched the surface, really.
That's exciting, too, in its own way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting.
To tell us when you finally reached a point where you had a body of work and you dared to try to get an exhibit going. How did that work out?
Well, my husband, Michael, was showing some pottery at a gallery in Green, New York, Hartsong Gallery. And so the owner came over to our house to look at his work and to pick up some pottery. And I had not been painting that long, really. But she saw my work and she said, oh, you have to have a show. And I was shocked.
You must have been thrilled.
I was thrilled. You know, I just, yeah. So, in fact, she took a lot of my fruit, the cantaloupe and all the things that I started out with. You know, they had something. I knew they had something, you know, that she liked. But so that was a show really early on, which probably shouldn't have happened as far as the time I had been painting. But
oh, yes, it should. You never know about those things. But I was wondering if it brought out your insecurities going, uh-oh, wait a minute. Now this is going to be up for people to scrutinize. Did that part of it scare you a little bit?
At that point, I think I was so new in it, and I was sort of had this creator's high, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, I can paint. This is wonderful, and, you know, I'll show it to everybody. But in 2000 and I guess maybe 8 or 6, I don't know, one of my friends had one of my paintings on his screensaver, and he was at Cuca College, and the art professor at Cuca College saw it and looked at my website and called me and said, I want you to have a show, 30 paintings,
wow,
all by yourself at the Leitner Gallery there. And that's when I was afraid.
Yeah.
You know, a big body of work in front of, you know, at a college.
Well, so how tell us how that went, though. Did you learn from the people who patronized the show? Did you talk to people about what they thought of it?
I did. I actually gave a talk for the students, and it was funny because it pushed my confidence up a notch to be able to talk about my work and have students actually looking at my work. It was surreal in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I do something like that, it does push my confidence up.
I was just wondering if you learn from your audience, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you always learn when somebody says something about your work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they saw some things in my work that I hadn't seen, and I thought that was really interesting. You know, you never know what somebody's going to see in your work.
Oh, yeah. And then people, I've had other painters come on and talk about how somebody came up to me and said, that reminds me of my childhood. And
right.
So you touch a nerve, and you touch some nostalgia for people.
You do.
With some of your work, I'm
sure. Yeah. And sometimes you don't want to tell somebody what it is. I had a woman who bought a painting that she liked, and I started to say, oh, that's my neighbor's house, and she stopped me. She said, this reminds me of growing up in Kansas, the fields. And so I just left it. You know, yes, that's great.
Yeah. I've brought a place to you for my own world. Yeah, that's what's so fun about the arts. Now, I want to talk about the fact that you're also a musician, a lifelong musician, you say. How does the music and the art intertwine? We use some of the same language, composition, and, you know.
Yes, it's definitely true. You know, they do intertwine. I think they feed off of each other. You learn in music a lot about space, you know. I mean, the rest is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And painting is a lot about space.
And silences,
yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
And so I think they definitely feed off of each other. I have sung with the Women's Chorale, 171 Cedar Women's Chorale, for 22 years. And, you know, I find that when I have a really great singing session, then it just inspires me to want to paint. So the
really?
Energy is, it's very... They have the energy in common with the arts. Is,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I assume that you play the piano, right? I mean, often?
Well, I play the piano every day when I'm tuning them.
Right. But I mean, just for pleasure, for your own pleasure. I was just wondering if when you're playing the piano, you start envisioning paintings or scenes or emotions that you want to put on canvas.
Yeah. Actually, I've always seen music in colors. And that was something that I noticed from the time I was a kid. And I've talked to other painters and musicians who have said the same thing. So, yes, when I'm playing a certain chord, if I'm playing an A minor chord, I get enveloped in a burgundy kind of color. And, yes, it does bring out that. As far as inspiring me to make a painting, I'm not sure. I'll have to do that sometime.
Uh-huh. If you're just joining us, my guest is artist Eileen Kaplan. And you know what I want to talk about, too? You say that you were trying to capture a moment in time, but the fact that moments are fleeing, it's so interesting to me. And it seems to me in your paintings you do that, because they feel like they're ghost-like, some of them, like you're capturing the moment as it flees.
Oh.
To talk to me about that, what you're looking for.
When I decide to do a painting, it's because I have seen something that just stops time for me. I can't explain it in any other way. It stops time. There's something about it, whether it's the way the light hits the side of a flower or the side of a barn. And it's that feeling that I got when I looked at that for the first time that I want to capture. So it is a moment, but it is a fleeting moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that feeling moment that I'm trying to put down.
Yeah, it does feel like you're capturing time moving somehow. It's your paintings are really interesting. I wish we were on TV so I could show people what I'm talking about. Then tell us how you work, though. Do you work from photographs? Are you out in the fields? Are you having people pose?
All of those.
Hmm.
Yeah, I've painted outdoors. I've painted from photographs. I've painted from still lifes. Any flower painting that I've done, mostly they're on my kitchen table. I have a beautiful north light and a southern light, light coming in from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a flower, you know, bouquet there, and it's just gorgeous. But I've also painted from photographs. You know, I drive back and forth on Route 79 every day, and I've done some paintings of road paintings. I love doing road
mm-hmm.
paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from photographs, but the photograph is only a jumping-off point. Because I remember what it felt like driving and the night and the sunset, and that's what I'm trying to put into the painting.
Yeah, I know that there's something haunting about highways. It's always captured the imagination of artists.
Yeah.
Singers, songwriters, painters, everybody writes about the road.
Yeah, it's something about it. I think when you're driving, I feel opened up somehow. I love the commute, actually.
Uh-huh. How do you think you'd be getting your emotions out if you weren't painting? Do you have any idea? Would you be a frustrated person, an angry person? I often wonder if people do use their art in order to explain their inner lives.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, music did that for me.
Mm.
And music still does do that for me. If I didn't have painting, if I didn't have music, I'd probably be doing a lot of running. I don't know.
Running away.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, so art is totally incorporated in your life now, right? There's no going back.
Right, there's no going back. Yeah, and I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're a member of the State of the Art Gallery here in Ithaca. It's a collective. How has that helped your work? Do you collaborate? Do you converse with people? Do you talk about your work?
Yeah, it's a community. And it was the first time that I really was part of a community of artists where we did exchange ideas and... It's wonderful. I can't say enough. I never thought I'd want to belong to a group like that. I have a solitary occupation, painting is solitary, but you know, getting input from all these artists, and it is wonderful. I love it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've talked to a lot of painters who, when they first started in the profession, they were mainly focused on the art, but you find out very quickly that you have to learn how to talk about your work. Well, was that a hard transition for you? I mean, some artists say that they still can't stand having to do that.
I don't mind doing it if in fact, I like doing it if I'm engaged with the other person. Mm-hmm. Then it's so much fun because I see things that I never knew. What you said about a haunting feeling or the movement, I never realized that. And it's just fun to bounce things off. So I like talking about my work.
Yeah. Well, tell us how you would describe it to somebody who can't see it.
It's colorful.
It is.
And I'm really interested in light, so there's a lot of contrast with light. I would say it's expressionistic. It's not realistic. You know what I'm painting. Mm-hmm. And I would say that I like contrast. So there's some thick paint. There's some almost bare canvas. Maybe a little mysterious.
And I do see the edges, you know, we're almost like the time thing that we were talking about. It's fleeing, and you can see this kind of ghost-like stuff in some of your paintings.
Yeah. Some of my paintings, I actually, they would be sort of ghost-like because I paint over other paintings.
Oh.
So some
I thought you were going to tell me you were really painting ghosts that you
no.
did, which is valid.
Right. No, not yet anyway. I'm painting over other paintings. If I have a painting that didn't work, and that happens a lot. So I'll save it, and then I'll turn it upside down, whatever, and I'm doing another painting. And it's almost always serendipity that some of the underpainting shows through just in a way that makes the painting on top just sing.
Oh.
And it's very freeing, because if I'm painting over an old painting, I'm not too precious about it. Well, you know, I'm just having fun. And it is sort of fleeting. It's a ghost image that comes through.
Yeah, you can feel that. You can feel that in your work. Who are some of the famous artists that have informed your work? Are you influenced by people like Marc Chagall or Edward Hopper?
Oh yeah, Edward Hopper definitely. Rembrandt. I was lucky enough to see a Rembrandt in Milwaukee.
Oh.
And it's so old. The brushwork he was using is so contemporary. You know, it's like impressionistic brushwork. The brushwork is unbelievable. So, you know, I love that. Yeah, I love Richard Diebenkorn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's one of my all-time favorites.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could go on and on.
Oh, no, I'm sure. But, you know, the first time that I lived in the Netherlands for a while, and the first time I saw Van Gogh paintings live, I was so moved by them.
Oh.
And there is something so amazing about seeing artwork live that you've just seen in posters or books, you know?
Definitely.
It brings out so much emotion, and at least in me, and I'm sure in most other artists.
Yeah, I think in people. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I love to go to museums and love to see artists' work and, you know, in galleries and, yeah.
Do you feel, you must have seen artwork when you were a kid. Do you feel differently about art in museums and so on now that you actually do the work yourself? Has it changed your vision? I mean, you see brush strokes. I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, it's completely changed my vision.
Are you more critical, do you think?
Oh, I hate to be critical. No, and the reason why is because it makes me feel, when I see what I consider to be a bad painting, it makes me feel like, oh, God, uninspired.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I go, oh, if I see a good painting, that just makes me want to go and paint. If I see a painting that I think is bad, amateurish, it doesn't make me feel happy.
Yeah.
I would rather
feel the same way. I feel sort of embarrassed for the artist by proxy.
Or just, oh, my God, you know, this, it makes me almost afraid to paint, you know. Yeah, but when I go to see a piece of work in museums, I'm always up, like, really close. You can always tell the painters when you're in a museum.
Yeah, they're studying the
They're studying
strokes.
It really close. They're, like, 2 inches away.
Uh-huh. So being a painter has changed the way you look at art, then,
yeah.
I would assume.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And has it taken anything away from your pleasure of it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because I was thinking that you can critique it now as an artist and say, oh, look, you know, you deviated from that brush stroke.
Yeah.
He's trying to cover up something over there, you know.
It hasn't taken my pleasure away. It's funny because I went through a period where I was writing songs, and that took away my pleasure from listening to other people's songs for some reason. I don't know why. So it's funny that you ask that. I always found that, I guess it was less mysterious, you know, when I would hear songs in the past before I was writing them myself, I had no idea, oh my gosh, you know, and then I was hearing the chord change, the progression, and then they did this, they did that, you know, there's a minor here, that's whatever. So I can understand your question, but with painting, no, that hasn't happened.
Yeah, I know, I'm also a poet, and I hear lyrics differently, you know, since I've been a writer for so many years, and I can hear the strained rhymes that aren't even necessary, you know,
definitely.
That kind of thing. I was just wondering if as a painter, you would be looking at something more critically.
Well, yes, I guess so. And I could, if I make a judgment that something is a bad painting. Yes, I don't know that I would have made that judgment necessarily before.
Yeah.
But it's really instructive to see why I think something's bad. It doesn't mean it is bad.
Right.
You know,
right.
I would say, well, why? What don't I like about that? And it really is instructive.
Yeah. Well, it shows you, too, what all of us see who look at paintings. Maybe you don't see any emotion from it. Maybe it's just been splattered on there and you don't feel like the artist is even trying to say anything.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. How do you react to reviews? Have you had many reviews and critiques of your work?
I think just a couple, and they've all been pretty good, so I would probably react terribly to a bad review.
Do you think you would?
I don't know.
Make you rethink your work?
No, you know, I say that off the cuff. I don't know that I would react badly, because I think at this point, I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to express something, and if somebody else doesn't like it, you know, not everybody's going to like my work. There's no question about that.
Anybody who puts their art out there has to know that at one point.
Yeah.
And we only have a couple minutes left. I wanted to talk to you about how you would inspire somebody who is trying to become a painter.
That's interesting, because I'm going to teach my first class at the Yates County Art Center in May. So the idea I had was to just throw a pile of eggshells down, because I've been doing some eggshell paintings that are so much fun, and just, you know, point out why they're so beautiful and what would be really neat about painting it. I think if I were going to inspire somebody, it would be that, to have somebody see something that I'm seeing. You know, why is an eggshell pretty?
Yeah, just take something from everyday life and make it beautiful.
Yeah, and see what it is about it that is exciting to me, and hope that it would be something that they haven't maybe seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And the question of trying to paint it, well, that's another thing. But unless you see something that excites you, then any painting you make is just what? It's going to be trying to copy something.
Yeah. Do you have any upcoming shows that we can tell people about?
Yes, I'm going to be showing with my husband, Michael Maxwell, and with Carol Spence, one of my favorite artists.
Yeah, we've had her.
Yeah, at Leidenfrost Vineyards. And that show opens on April 8th, and the opening reception is the 12th.
Great.
Then it's ongoing at State of the Art. May is the member show. And then in July, I'll be showing at Corners Gallery.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Oh, well, I hope to see some of your work live. I've so enjoyed it on your website. Yeah. Eileen Kaplan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.